For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
You've listened, you've digested, and hopefully you've implemented part one. It is now time for part two. Welcome to all new, all different, all of the above. New version of the old scene. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on facebook.com/allofthe above radio or my name, HANKTHORPE. That's me. I'm currently off social media, so I won't see it. But you can also find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So or at Hank. Hey, how you doing? No G at the end. You know what I do see? I do see emails. allofthe above radio@gmail.com or THEHRT3@gmail.com. I hope everybody has already listened to part one. Well, and I hope you've been listening to the show no matter what. But at time of live recording, it was about a week ago that I sat down and gave you the first part of my rules to being a better bar slash restaurant guest. And if you've already listened to that, I hope you were either A, service industry and enjoyed and agreed with it, or you're a customer slash consumer and thought, oh, I do that. Oh, I know somebody who does that, and they need to do better now. Speaking of doing better, I do have a little bit of cleanup for you before we press on, because I've got more rules for you, but we must look back before we move forward. First and foremost, on a technical note, I listened back to the show, and the content is very good. I'm very proud of what I did, but the audio was not amazing. It was a little loud, so hopefully this recording for you is a little bit better. I look forward to listening to it after it's done. Hopefully it's a little bit better for you. Next up, I understand that as you were listening to part one of this, there were moments where I got a little bit heated. And I'm just going to tell you, there's a reasonable chance I'm going to get as heated about something just because of the fact that these are things that have happened to me or I've witnessed firsthand, and they are frustrating. They get people heated. These are topics that are very hot button, some of them more than others. Now, I'm just gonna let you know, in the midst of me getting heated, me and everybody else in the restaurant business has been known to use a little bit of exaggeration. So if you've already listened last week, and if you haven't, you're gonna want to pause this and go back and check out the previous. I may have said that I want some people to have sexual intercourse with a chainsaw. That's from the movie Heathers, by the way. That's a very old movie, or at least a movie very early into my childhood with Winona Ryder. But the fact of the matter is, I don't want somebody to have sexual intercourse with a chainsaw, but I do want somebody to understand that their behavior is egregious and bad things need to happen. And just to give you an example of some of the exaggeration that people use. So last week, one of my coworkers got stuck with a birthday party of 9 at 9:15 and we close at 10. And he was afraid that there were going to be separate checks. And as I'm doing a little bit of restock to try to start cleaning, he says to me, "I'd like to find the stinkiest, sweatiest jockstrap right now and hang myself with it. It would be more fun than taking care of this table right now." That is a quote, ladies and gentlemen. There is no exaggeration in that. That is the exact words that came out of his mouth because I wanted to remember them for the next time I talk to you. It's just what we do. In the heat of the moment, you just let it happen. And most people are self-aware enough to know that that's not what they want to happen. Could you picture the obituary, by the way? Ugh. And speaking of being self-aware, here's the next bit of cleanup I have for you. All of the rules I give to you so far and going forward, they all kind of come with the caveat that you are in a restaurant or being taken care of by a server or a bartender who is indeed self-aware themselves. If this is a person who is competent at their job, who spends more time being attentive to the needs of their guests or the needs of their teammates, all of these rules apply. If this is a person who spends a lot of time on their phone or forgot to put your order in or is too busy flirting with coworkers versus talking you up or giving you the attention that you need and then the attention that you want. There is a difference. There is a colossal difference in the amount of attention you need to get things done properly and get things done to create a good experience. And then there's the amount of attention you may want. Those are very different. So just remember, all of the things I'm bringing up to you are kind of under the somewhat unfair assumption that your server is, bartender is, for lack of a better word, on top of it. If they're on top of it, you follow the rules and things will just be easier. And finally, so I just need to let you all know, I don't have a problem with sauce. Just, I need to loop back and tell you, try the food first. Don't assume that sauce is going to make something better just because you like it. First, try it and then figure out where it fits. So here's my example. Just last week, my lovely wife and I, we went to one of our favorite burger places, and I ordered a bison patty with, it was one of their specialty burgers. It had a whole bunch of wacky accoutrement on it, a fennel slaw and a this and a that and a whatever. And all of the stuff on the burger was delicious. The meat, however, was so dull, the burger needed more fat. And so that is where I got two bites into the burger and said, wow, this needs fat. So I would have, in that moment, I could have used a mayo or a garlic sauce or a aioli or even maybe some crumbled bacon, just something to add some fat to it, some food lube, as Guy Fieri would say. Because sometimes sauce is absolutely vital. And the only gripe I ever have, and by the way, sometimes sauce comes in the form of acid or heat or salt, the four components as, is it Sami Nosrat? Is that who writes that book? I absolutely just butchered her name, I'm sure. Decent book. Good author. Apologies, I think I just butchered her name. So whenever I make really big, Italian subs or big sandwiches like turkey, bacon, clubs, I'll usually do mayonnaise on both ends of the bun, but then I will dip it in red wine vinegar so that you have that initial bit of like salivation to get you ready for all the richness that comes with the food. So if you heard the first episode and you thought, I am just a overall hater of sauce, that's incorrect. What I rally against is blanketly thinking sauce makes food better. If you instantaneously lean towards sauce while you eat, there's a reasonable chance food is not being seasoned well enough. And that's where I come in. Now, by the way, I will say this. I will very quickly tell you just how much I hate the idea of ranch on pizza. I am a New Jersey kid who grew up on hand-tossed pizza made by generations of Italian Americans. Generations. I'm talking about, I went to elementary school with Tom, who was 2 years younger than me, who him and his brother are going to take over the pizza joint that his grandpa started, that their dad is running right now. I grew up on some of the most classic, beautiful, and rustic is not the word, but it's handmade by generations pizza. And you know what was never in any place I was at? You know what accoutrement was never on the table? It was ranch. I hate it. And in fact, it makes me giggle that one of our competitors, I will give them some credit because they used to do this. I don't think they do anymore. But Cane Rosso, a local North Texas pizza chain, they in their first location, they used to have a jar or a bottle of Kraft ranch dressing behind a glass case for $1,000. If you wanted ranch on your pizza, you had to pay $1,000. That's how strong they were in their belief that their pizza was seasoned, curated, and cooked perfectly enough that you don't need that flavor blot on your tongue. And I love that. And every time somebody orders ranch with their pizza, especially the first time they're in a restaurant, I want to kick them in the chest. And there's the hyperbole again. So with that being said, I believe we've taken care of all of our cleanup. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we are able to move forward. With the rules to being a better restaurant guest / bar guest. So, sit back and let's chat some more, shall we? Food! It's okay to not be ready to order. Catch up to your friends at the table. Read the menu. Relax. Decompress. But when you say you're ready, you actually need to be. And order quickly. Quickly and clearly. Your bartender / server probably has other people to tend to. Please do not monopolize their time with indecisiveness. So, it's a... And once again, and actually... So people sitting at my table, either they're embarrassed by this or they find it hilarious. And maybe it's a combination of both. Whenever I'm... So when it comes to food, I usually have maybe three things that I want. And I will say to the server, okay, do I want the blah blah pasta or the what have you sandwich? And they'll give me their opinion, and I will try usually just to go with their opinion because they probably know. Or I will say, I'll take either the burger, the burger du jour or the shrimp what have you. Dealer's choice, don't tell me which one. Because I understand that I get it, I can stare at a menu for a very long time and get overwhelmed. See, I'm one of those people, and you probably know somebody who's like this. I can look at a menu And instead of just quantifying the value of the food on the menu, I overthink and say, well, I have no idea how when it is I'm going to be back here. There's so many other restaurants in the city in which I live. Who knows when I'm going to get back? What if I regret my choice? And so I'm already overthinking when the next time will be I'll get there. So I totally start to second guess the choice before I even make it, which is why I usually put it in the hands of my server. Or the other thing that I do is I'll start a countdown clock. I'll start a 10-second countdown clock on myself so that I just have to pick something so I don't monopolize their time. Now, do I recommend you do any of those things? No, because you probably look a little crazy. Or at least the countdown clock makes you look a little crazy. I've been there for a while. It's okay. But asking your server which food of the two you're looking at is better, or they like better, or the kitchen is better at it, those are all very inbounds questions. But don't be those people that say, we're ready, and then you start looking at each other and saying, well, what did you want? What do you want? Do you want to get a salad? Don't do that. Please don't do that. Because if you're not ready, it's okay. Honestly, once you've sat down, we'll get to that conversation in a little while. But once you've sat down, it's okay to take a couple minutes. Really, though. Drinks. I've gotten a very small amount of complaints where people have either complained to the manager in the moment or called the next day to complain on me, and this was one of them. Drinks. Don't touch something that isn't yours. So if you get up from the table to take a roll of silverware, or if you take a napkin to spit out your gum, if you take a wrapped paper straw because I forgot to give you one, those are forgivable. I will be a little bit annoyed that you're doing my job, but those are kind of forgivable. Because in that moment, you're just thinking, oh, I just need it. They've got other things going on. I'm not okay with it, but I'm okay with it. What I absolutely 100% am not okay with is touching the fruit in the garnish tray. So when you go to a restaurant / bar, they either have the very old school setup of the plastic white bowls with the cherries and the limes and the lemons and the all of that business, or they have some really beautiful, elaborate setup that actually looks like a centerpiece of some sort, with orange peels and lemon peels and lighters and smoking torches. It could be anything. The moral of the story is, or greens, mint, basil, cilantro, rosemary. These things are being put into or onto somebody's drink. If you want something, ask, but do not reach your hand into a garnish tray and take fruit. And remember how I said I wasn't going to get, or I remember how I said I can't promise you I'm not going to get heated. We are already there. So a few months ago, It was an older guy in his mid 60s, I would guess, on a date with a woman, and I can admit that I started our exchange a little bit crossways because he was very awkward in the presentation of his thoughts. But I self-corrected. As soon as I heard her passive-aggressively talk about me, and I wasn't supposed to hear it, I self-corrected to make sure I fell over myself to give them better service because I wanted them to walk away with a good experience. But at the end of it all, they paid. And as he was getting ready to leave, he reached his hands in to the garnish tray and took out a cherry and put it in his mouth. And I absolutely lost it. I absolutely lost it and said, "Are you out of your mind? Now I have to throw all of that away. I have no idea where your hands have been." I shouldn't have to talk to a 60-something-year-old person like a 6-year-old. You should have learned when you were 5, ask before you touch. And the way that I handled it, apparently, did not go over well with the woman who was on this date with the guy. She was very quick to say the next morning, "I'm never going on a date with that guy again, but the bartender could have handled it better." General. Speaking of picking up a napkin to spit out your gum, warn us if you've turned your beer bottle into a spit cup. And please spit your gum into a napkin instead of sticking it under the table or under a chair. And definitely don't put it on a plate as you're about to leave. It's amazing to me that people still... I remember as a kid in high school. I remember that was a big discussion from the bus driver was gum on the seats, and she had this long speech one day about how she pressure washed the whole bus because it was her bus, and we were on her route and we were treating her bus poorly and we needed to be more respectful to it. I never forgot that conversation. I think her name was Miss Snook. I think she was one of the... There was a huge contingent of Snooks in the town I lived in, or the area I lived in. I think she was another one. But it's funny. I work in a restaurant where, you know, any restaurant where you're brushing food off of plates, or you're throwing away dirty used limes. It's amazing the amount of things I have touched when it comes down to food in my restaurant lifetime, and yet the thing that one of the very few things that genuinely disgusts me is when I find gum under a seat, or I find gum under a table edge, or I find it on the plate. And I'm one of those people that has been lucky to have never spilled a spit cup on myself. But I can't imagine how disgusting it was. Oh, God. Food. This one's tricky. But adults, please avoid ordering from the kid menu. So... here's the thing. When you go to a place like when you go to a big box store like a Chili's or a TGI Fridays, and because I don't know specifically, but a lot of restaurants that are ubiquitous, that are everywhere, that are big, big, big chain, they're doing frozen food for the kids menu. They're doing a frozen chicken tendies or something to that effect, or frozen chicken or frozen hot dogs, whatever. So it's possibly not as big a deal there, but when you go to a place where everything is prepped fresh the day of, you're cutting into food costs in a slightly different way. I will just stay with pizza because that's what I work. So you're taking pizza dough that has already been portioned out and costed out, and now you're an adult who wants to get the kids menu. So now we have to cut the dough into a kid's portion, and that dough gets thrown out. We're still using the same high quality cheese and the same quality meat. So, dirty little secret, the kids' menu at a place where food is prepared fresh, you're already losing money serving it to a child. Now you're serving it to an adult for whom you have the expectation that they're going to spend an adult amount of money for an adult portion. And I get it. I really do. As a person who can eat a lot, but also doesn't always like to, a kid's portion can be better. It can be the exact amount of food you wanted, whether it's financially or just what fits in your belly. I get it, but unfortunately, it's a really bad look when you, a 30-some-year-old person, sits down and orders the $7 kid's pizza. Because now you look real effing cheap. Now you look like that person who doesn't want to spend money and isn't going to tip. It's just... it's a tough one. I know it's a tough one because there are people, or somebody who has just lost a lot of weight or had gastric bypass. There's people that would be better off eating the kids' menu, but for you, the consumer, understand the server's point of view. You, a 30-some-year-old person, eating that $7 pizza versus the $18 pizza, it's a big difference. Once again, I'm leading up to something that's going to happen. There's two very big conversations that are coming up later. Just stick a pin in this conversation we just had. Drinks. Please, please, please stop asking to ring in extra drinks before happy hour. Don't ask for happy hour pricing after it's over. Just don't do it. So, remember how... here's part one. Restaurants that are not near airports or in hotels feed off of regular guests. If you're a person who becomes a regular, if you're in there 2 times a week, 3 times a week, 6 times a week, you're probably going to get some perks that are unspoken. Every now and then, if you had 5 Coors Lights, we'll charge you for 3. If you showed up at 6:45 and happy hour ends at 7, and you're normally there at 6, we'll probably say to you, hey, you're kind of later than normal. Do you still want your three Budweisers? Yeah, okay, well then I'll just make sure they're in under happy hour. You're still fine. But understand that charging somebody... so people are just convinced that if you run a restaurant, you just have an endless amount of money. Like I told you last conversation, everything costs something. And there are math equations to tell you exactly what everything costs. And the reason things are put on happy hour is because there is wiggle room in their value. You can sell it for a little bit cheaper and you might still be making a small profit. But let's make abundantly clear. Any business would rather sell it to you at regular price than at a discounted rate to actually make a real profit versus just breaking even or just getting up a slightly bit above making a small profit. People would, of course, rather make full profit on that. Keep full margin. So yes, if you're a good regular, a good guest, a nice person, and you showed up just before happy hour ends, people will make the effort to give you the happy hour price on a drink. But if at any point you're a person, and this at my old job was a very big deal, I had people, I worked with a bartender who he didn't care, but I did. He would text people and say, hey, happy hour is about to end. Do you need me to ring some stuff in for you? Or they would text him, hey, I'm not going to be there until 8 o'clock. Can you ring in four of them on happy hour for me? So let me get this straight. You already know you're not going to be there until 8 o'clock, but you're texting the bartender at 5:30 to get four drinks rung up before 6 o'clock. Not only are that, so you as the consumer and you as the bartender are completely jamming the system at this point. Is the tip you're going to give and the tip you're going to get, is it that good that that needs to happen? I get it. I sound like a bit of a goody two-shoes, but I'm one of those people who understands that a great tip is amazing, but what's even better is keeping the doors open for that person to come back over and over again. One good tip versus four visits of a pretty darn good tip, I'm taking pretty darn good over and over and over and over and over again. And just last week, actually, I had a woman sit down. She ordered a drink, and it was probably right at the edge of 6 o'clock. She ordered a drink, and then her friend sat down, and she got a drink. And then they ordered the happy hour pizza at 6:30. And by the way, our happy hour ends at 6. And she said, oh, well, we just got so caught up in talking that we just lost track of time. I said, well, happy hour ended at 6. I can get you the full-size pizza. And she said, well, I've been coming in for a really long time. Me and my husband come in a lot. We even supported you during the pandemic. I think you guys can get me a happy hour-size pizza. And I said, well, that's over my head. I'm going to have to get a manager. And she said, yeah, well, go ahead and get that guy over there. He'll do it for me. So I brought a manager over, and they did it, but I sure as hell didn't. It's that kind of behavior that makes me not want to do anything nice for you. Because as much as I think about the scene in Beverly Hills Cop 2 where Axel Foley is now outing Maxwell Dent as a cop killer to Hugh Hefner. And Maxwell says to Hugh Hefner, we are a large financial donor to your cause. And Hugh Hefner, may he rest in peace, says, and we appreciate it. Goodbye. That's what I really would have loved to have said to that woman. You know what? Thank you for your support up to this point. If you choose not to support us anymore, that is on you. Goodbye. Because you are going about everything the wrong way at that point. People that ask for happy hour drinks to be rung up before happy hour ends, that's one thing. People that ask for happy hour pricing after happy hour is over and then raise a stink about it, that's even worse. General, as best as possible, stay seated. Your server or bartender probably has your food or drink arriving at the seat you sat in initially. If you get up halfway through, you may have just messed up a rotation. If it's only one check, that's less of a problem. But your server or your food runner looks bad if a food or drink gets dropped off to the wrong spot. So, if it's a birthday party, if it's a big sit-down get-together, that's where things get real tricky. Is everybody starts hugging and handshaking and sitting down and all of that, but then you get up to go to the bathroom and you decide you want to go talk to somebody at that side of the table or that side of the table, or and things just kind of get shifted around. For the sake of your server, at least stay seated while everything is being ordered, and then try to go back to your seat before the food shows up. If it's one check, it's not a huge deal, but truthfully, whenever... Here's a bit of insider knowledge. Very frequently, when your server or bartender is getting ready to hand you the check, it's based on where you sat. They probably have... If you and your spouse are sitting in seats 3 and 4, they probably take seats 3 and 4 and mash them together. But then if seat 6 is a person there by themselves, you separate seat 6 off, print that check, good to go. So computers make things easier, but you still have to help the person put it into the computer to make it easy on everybody. It's not a hard thing, and I totally get it when you get up and want to chat with different people. My wife, ever the extrovert, loves to get up and talk to different people. I'm the sit anchored guy, less because of the rule I just gave you, more just because I would rather people come to me, and I like having a comfortable home base. That's the introvert in me. I like to have a recharge spot. But as best as you can, stay seated. It just makes it easier for your server to be able to get the food to this exact spot, because you know what? It's a very funny thing. It's a very funny phenomenon, but people very frequently forget what they ordered, whether it's a drink or food. So people knowing the exact seat to put it at will make it easier, other than, all right, who ordered the pepperoni and fresh jalapeno pizza? And we're now auctioning food off to you. Nothing makes a food runner or server look dumber than having to auction food off because you moved seats or forgot what you ordered. And now we actually are just breaking off into a bunch of general rules. I didn't lose anything. I had lots and lots of stuff for food and drink, but I had way more general / etiquette topics to bring to you. So it's just going to be a whole bunch of general topics now. Starting with, if you want a channel changed, if you're at a bar / restaurant where there are TVs and there's sports on, if you want a channel changed, just make sure you know what channel it's on. You don't need to know the cable or satellite provider, but at least know if it's on ESPN or Fox or FS1 or NBC Sports. If you just say to me, hey, can you put on the Michigan State-Purdue game? All right, what channel is it on? I don't know. You've done nothing. You've done absolutely nothing. You've now created more work for people who are already working. And usually I will tell somebody, hey, can you just Google it real quick? Google what channel it's on. Because chances are, I mean, I had DirecTV for many years, and I've been working with DirecTV for almost an equal amount of years. If you tell me, oh, it's on ESPN2. Okay, 209. Got it. That was easy. Oh, it's on USA Network. 242. I think I got you. Okay, cool. It's not that hard. But you do your part by at least knowing what channel it's on. Up next, if you want that hot bartender / hot server's number, you better have a really strong game. Or you better be okay with rejection. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. You're not the first. You won't be the last. Most servers / bartenders, especially the attractive ones, have heard it before. They've heard it from somebody who thought their approach was more novel or better. And chances are, it doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, it matters to, in some way or another, how attractive you are. But sometimes that doesn't matter either. You could be the hottest person in the world with the strongest charisma, but if you catch the hot bartender / server on a day where they just are not in the mood to hear it, you're still going to get stonewalled. And I will give you this is a bit of a insider's tip. Giving your phone number to somebody is great, but here's the thing you must do. 1,000,000%, you must, if you listen to nothing else this episode, listen to these words I give you. If you choose to give somebody your phone number or your Snapchat or your Instagram, if you choose to open the lines of communication with your hot bartender or server, you sure as hell better tip them well. I repeat, if you want to give your number to a hot server or bartender or an ugly one, I don't give a rat's ass, you better tip them well. There is a very serious story that happened a couple of months ago where a gal that I used to work with, she had a table of they were anywhere between 17 and 19. There's four of them. A bunch of punk dudes left the number for the server, but they tipped her roughly 12%. When you've got a bunch of 17 and 18 year olds, you don't expect a great tip, but if you want anything from this person, he, she, they, you better tip well. You better tip no less than 25%, because now you are paying for their time outside of work. And guess what happened to that person who left the, and by the way, it was probably even worse than 12%. I'm trying to embellish, but it was bad. It was a bad tip. And you want to know how bad that tip was? It was bad enough that that server took a picture of the phone number and sent it to her friends and said, "This person tipped me awful. Do your worst." And her friends teed off on this kid. Started calling him, started texting him, started sending him all sorts of trash talk. And how do I know this? Because that little punk-ass kid called me, the manager on duty, and cursed me out because he got cursed out. Ladies and gentlemen, something that never gets said enough in this world is, it starts with you. As Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And unfortunately, we are in the restaurant business. You are, as best as you can, a yes business. And that kid... So when that kid called me, and see, now I'm walking off a bit of a tangent, but I need you to understand just how crappy people can be and lack a complete sense of self-awareness. Because what I understand is, in the middle of this sandwich is you being offended by the friends of the server you treated poorly. So you were offended. But here's the problem. You have now called me, and the first thing you said on the phone was, "I was in your restaurant earlier, and your servers need to get the fuck off their phones." That was a direct quote from roughly a 17 to 18 year old child. I am a 44 year old man who does not get talked to by a 17 year old in that way. I will snatch somebody up by the neck and risk getting fired to teach a lesson to a child. And he proceeded to say, the server who took care of me was really bad, and I gave my number to them, and then she took advantage of it, and her friends have been texting me and calling me the N-word with an R. So here's where I take my glasses off for a quick second and cover up my third eye. I'm going to tell everybody, whether you are black or white or any of the races in between, if you want to complain to anyone about anything, you might want to remove the N-word with an R from your arsenal. You don't have to tell somebody that they called you an N-word with the hard R to prove the point that your experience was not good. You don't. You just don't need to. If you feel the need to, see, and I'm speaking to you in a moment right now where I know these four kids because I've seen them in more than once. None of them are black. You call, and he doesn't know that I am. He is not black, does not know that I am black, and yet every bit of me professionally wanted to hang up on that kid and say, you know what? You got what you deserved. It's that whole conversation of the hot crazy scale from How I Met Your Mother, where Barney talks about how hot the girl is and how crazy she is, and then you have that moment of, but what did somebody do to make her crazy? I repeat, it starts with you. And I'll keep moving. Up next, another general thought. If the last topic wasn't hot enough, here we go again. I don't mince words when I say this, but dogs belong outside the restaurant, not inside. And I will ask you a very pleasant question. Are you blind? If the answer is no, you and your dog can eat outside. Anywhere that food is being consumed in a place where I am paying or I am serving, I find dogs inside to be foul. I don't care if that dog just came from the groomer and is cleaner than you are. I hate dogs in restaurants. Hate it. Any place that has a patio, glad to do it. Glad to get you a nice to-go foil dish and put some water in there for Fido or for Bunny or for Bobo. I'm happy to do it. Don't bring your damn dog inside. And worse yet, we're in a point in our lives where there is a very specific difference in a dog that is a service dog of some sort versus a dog that isn't. And one of the unfortunate byproducts of the it's okay to not be okay age that we live in is that people can scream emotional support for anything. And it's kind of bastardizing the concept of emotional support when you bring in a yippy-ass dog that may or may not have just bit at the leg of somebody that got too close to them. So you got to understand, service dogs that are actually trained as service dogs are the most calm dogs that sit under the table and do nothing. If your dog does anything other than that, if your dog is being pet, it's not a service dog. If your dog is yipping, it's not a service dog. If your dog is moving, it's not a service dog. Even if your dog has a vest on, you can buy him off of Amazon. It may not be a service dog. I'm the first person to say, does that thing have papers? Oh man, we'll get you a seat outside. I have passed tables in my section to other people because I won't serve people that bring dogs in. I just won't do it. It's disgusting. Sorry. Up next, the next general rule. Whatever time a restaurant closes, leave. Any, if you stay past a restaurant closing, you're an asshole. There is no two ways around it. Unless you were given specific instruction or permission by the bartender or the server, get up and leave. I can't think of it more simply than that. So let me expand. The best places, and it's unfortunate for me who drinks and then likes to eat late, but the best restaurants I can think of, the kitchen closes 30 minutes to an hour before the actual restaurant. And here's why. I love when kitchens close an hour before the restaurant or before the bar, quote unquote. And here's why. When you sit down with food, you now kind of have an indefinite amount of time to eat. Because some people eat fast, some people eat slow, some people eat in stages. We can only, as the server or bartender, dictate the pace of how you eat. We can only dictate it so much. So if you show up, say if the bar and the kitchen close at the exact same time. So if the restaurant closes at 10 and the kitchen closes at 9:45 and the last call at the bar is 9:45 and you show up at 9:42, you are now sitting, it takes, we'll call it 10 minutes for food to come out. So now it's 9:55. So now you are just starting to eat and enjoy your drink. And once you start eating, we can't tell you how long it takes for you to eat. So let me extend this point I make to you to not only say any minutes you stay past closing, you're an asshole. But let me also say, if you sit down 20 minutes before closing, you're also kind of an asshole. If you sit down to eat 20 minutes before closing, you're kind of an asshole. And your server / bartender will tell you over and over again, oh, I gotta be here anyway. It's okay. You're fine. Take your time. We don't care. They're lying to you. Hard. They're lying hard to your face. And what's funny is I very strongly remember one day, it was Christmas Eve a couple years ago. My we weren't married yet, but my then fiance, now wife, we met up with another couple for dinner. We made a reservation at 8:30, and normally they close at 10. So what we didn't know, we made the reservation online. It was confirmed to us over and over again. And what we didn't know is that on Christmas Eve, they were going to close at 9:00. And I wish somebody would have told us that they were going to close at 9:00. Because I would have taken that reservation and canceled it. Because as strongly as I just told you, don't sit down to eat 20 minutes before closing and leave as soon as a restaurant closes, that's how guilty I felt as we were sitting in this restaurant. We sat down at the table and they said, hi, welcome to blah blah, and by the way, it's last call. So we have just sat down, we don't have a drink in front of us, and now you're already telling us it's last call for the bar. I felt so guilty. We were the last table in the restaurant. They had turned the music off, and all you could hear was the music from the kitchen. And that poor man who took care of us kept saying, it's not a big deal, guys. Stay here. And maybe he meant it. I can't speak for him, but you know what? I felt horrible. Really, though, I felt so terrible. Up next. Let me just go ahead and actually combo this one. If you want to know what time a restaurant closes or a bar closes, Google is just a guideline. So let me just make abundantly clear. Bing, Google, any search engine you might use, it's just a guideline. It's information that was created when they first created their Google business ad. The pandemic has changed things. Slower business changes things. Just things can change on a dime. I work at a restaurant that if we're not busy past 8:30, we will close the kitchen and shut the doors at 9 o'clock. And if you're still in there drinking, we won't kick you out, but we won't take any new people in. The fact of the matter is, if you want to go somewhere and you see that, and if Google tells you that they close at 11 o'clock, you might want to call. Hey, Google says you're open till 11. What time's your kitchen close? Because like I said, the kitchen might close earlier than the bar. So if you show up to sit down and you want to eat and all you can do is get a drink, that's not the same thing. So let me just make it abundantly clear. The phone still works. I get it. I am Generation X. I am a dinosaur compared to some of the people in this world that I serve. And it's a really weird thing to say this out loud. But very soon, I'm going to be the oldest generation on this planet. Like, really? That's very weird to me to say I'm going to be the oldest generation on this planet. There, in like 15 to 20 years, there's not going to be any more people there aren't going to be any more people that didn't know life before the internet. Hold on. I think I overshot that. No. All that's going to be left is the people that bridge that gap. The Generation X people that had dial-up. In like 15 to 20 years, the people that lived life primarily, like they lived the biggest bulk of their life before dial-up internet, are going to be gone. And then it's just going to be me. Really though, and that's so wild. But the moral of the story is, call. It's okay, the phone still works. I hate to tell you that because I'm the one who answers the phone. But call, it's okay. Gotta make sure my wife isn't asking me something. Hold on. Okay, we're good. So once again, Google is just a guideline. So if you think you might be that person, and truthfully, and we go back to this conversation of a good bartender, a good server. The best people, they will tell you, hey, we're only open 15 more minutes, but just a few doors down from us is blah, blah. Their kitchen's open another hour and a half. Go there, try this, tell them I sent you. I will gladly do that all day. If you walk in the door at 10:59 on a Friday and we close at 11, I'll say, hey, on the other side of the parking lot is blah, blah. Just a couple blocks that way is blah, blah. Which direction do you live? I can tell you somewhere to go. Because I'm not going to serve you. And by the way, if you're nice about it, we are known to give out free food. We're known to give you a card that says, hey, next time you come in, food's on us, come on back. We want you here, just not tonight. You know? As I look at my notes, I'm coming to a very strong realization that I'm going to need to split this into one more episode. I was thinking I could get this done in two, just two episodes, give you all the rules, but I'm looking at what I got coming up next, and there's some really, really heavy meat and potatoes on the plate coming up. I wanted to get it done for you, but I also kind of like, now that I am not doing all of the above radio, I'm not doing the full 2-hour show with commercials and music, I like giving you an hour to an hour and 10 minutes of food to digest, proverbially. More than that, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Time is indeed money, which we're going to talk a lot about on the next episode. So I'm going to give you this bit of information today, going to let you digest on this, in the same way we talked about last time. allofthe above radio@gmail.com. Let's get a discussion going about this. What do you agree with? Where do you disagree? Where do you think I'm just out and out crazy or have been doing this for too long? Just any opinion. And by the way, I'll make sure to have my phone sitting on a softer surface next time, so that the vibration doesn't anger the microphone or your ears as it's happening. So we will do this again very soon, and soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. My name is Hank. This is all new, all different, all of the above. May there be a next time. I say till next time.